faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. Let's dive right in. Insane thing number five. Donald Trump. This was announced on CNN. Donald Trump, in the most recent CNN polling, is the most popular he has ever been. Wrap your mind around this. This is after two impeachments based, we now know, on total lies. This is after the total lies about January 6th, which made him look like an insurrectionist, although we found out this week he actually tried to deploy the National Guard, as he had always told us he did. The media said he was lying. Well, we finally were able to get the evidence from inside the Pentagon. He did give the order. He did give the order days before to deploy the National Guard, which would have prevented any kind of chaos. Well, what happened? He gave it to Mark Milley, and the directors, the leaders of his Pentagon, immediately went to work stymieing that order, defying that. They should be brought up on charges. They worked behind the scene, even though they weren't in the chain of command for the D.C. National Guard, to make sure that Trump was unable to dispatch the D.C. National Guard. And then they did something even more incredible. The Pentagon did. Because remember, Jack Smith was prosecuting, still is, prosecuting Trump for causing the January 6th insurrection. He's facing years in prison. Well, they'd have a hard time prosecuting him if the truth about him calling out, ordering the National Guard came to life. So what did the Pentagon do? Buried evidence in a criminal proceeding. That's a crime in itself, by the way. Burying exculpatory evidence is illegal at the federal level. They buried the evidence and the Pentagon lied about it in order to assist the Department of Justice in framing Trump. Anyway, for that reason, for 2 years, they were able to hit him with atrocious, and now it turns out completely untrue, accusations about January 6th. Then there was the Russia collusion hoaxes driven by the CIA and the FBI. They were highly credible. That went on for 3 years as they destroyed Trump with those and themselves. And finally, five criminal cases in which Trump was facing over 700 years in prison, including one in which he was convicted of 34 felonies. The guy should be terribly unpopular by now. But, well, I'll let Scott Jennings of CNN break the news. Trump is more popular than ever. And that's in CNN's own bias polling.
I just say the spate of polls that came out yesterday, Quinnipiac, our CNN polling, the Gallup poll indicators right now. The nervous campaign this morning is the Harris campaign. They're not where they need to be with young voters. They're not where they need to be with voters of color, working class voters. They're not achieving the margins that they need that Joe Biden was getting in 2020. And Trump's base is immovable. And right now, his administration and him personally are more popular than they have ever been.
You know what's so amazing about all this? All of those things, the lawfare, the indictments, they had taken their toll. People forget that. By this time last year, Donald Trump's, you know, favorability ratings were actually in the toilet. And in around Christmas time, Ron DeSantis in one poll actually polled ahead of him. Well, what changed all that? The Democrats and the deep state, but then I repeat myself, announced their indictments in January. Began their indictments in February and March, began the trial in May. And if you look at Trump's polling average and you go on Real Clear Politics, you can actually see this in line. It goes straight up from there. They rebuilt him. They made him. They failed. They simply went too far. And it's blowing up in their faces. That's why liberal Democrat senator from Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, this week said, look, I know people on the ground here in Pennsylvania who hate Trump and they're voting for him because they hate what's been done to him more. Fetterman wasn't that explicit, but it's what he meant by what he said, which, by the way, there's a lot of signs like this. For Fetterman to say that, it means he thinks there's a chance Trump's going to win Pennsylvania. Otherwise, he wouldn't open his mouth. a lot of people saying strange things this week that they wouldn't be saying if they didn't think there was at least a chance Trump's going to win, like Mark Zuckerberg, who hilariously, it was reported this week by Business Insider, has hired a Republican consultant to help him, I guess, fool Republicans into liking him again after he censored us. He's now denying ever having been a Democrat, never mind the $300 million contribution to Democrats for those drop boxes that helped them commit fraud. Yeah, he's now saying he's never a Democrat. He's always been a libertarian. Again, no way in hell Zuckerberg says that. And think what he has at his fingertips. He owns Instagram. He owns Facebook. He sees trends better than pollsters do. And you know what he must be seeing if he says a thing like that? Trump's got a shot. That's what that tells you. By the way, if Zuckerberg really wants to make it up to us, watch this. He's going to put camo on and go hunting. Just wait. It's not going to work. You know how he can fix it? I'll tell you right now. Kick the FBI out. They announced they were going back into Facebook and Instagram to censor. That means censor us. Kick them out in a very public way. Close the back door for censorship the way that Elon Musk did. There's literally a back door that let them into these social media sites. Close the back door. End the artificial suppression of algorithms against conservatives. Folks, to give you some idea, when Trump was elected in 2016, I had 28,000 Facebook followers. I now have 30. Yeah, because I've been suppressed. End the algorithms and do it in a very public way and then publish the evidence you've ended the algorithms. And then if you really want to get on our good side, endorse Trump. Endorse Trump and tell Brazil, the UK, Ireland, Scotland, tell Australia that you're standing with Elon Musk against censorship. If Zuckerberg would do that, they'd have a hard time defeating them both. We need one more to step up. So if Zuckerberg actually means it, those are the things he'll do. That's how you'll know. Insane thing number four. New York Democrat Mayor Eric Adams was indicted. So was P. Diddy. He was actually moved to suicide watch this week. You might think, why am I mentioning these together? Because it's starting to look like they're the same story. Look, let me just bottom line this for you, okay? The Epstein operation and the P. Diddy operation are the same operation. I don't know if the two of them ever worked together. I have no idea. But Diddy was running the Hollywood side of it with some politicians thrown in. That's right. A blackmail operation where they get you to have sex with underage women or people you shouldn't, film it, and voila, they control you forever. See, here's where this whole thing gets super weird. UK Daily Mail reported that Sean P. Diddy Combs' bodyguard claims that the music mogul kept sex tapes of New York politicians from his sex parties. Now, if they were New York politicians, vast majority of them would be Democrat. And something seriously weird has been going on quietly over the last couple of months in New York. The FBI has been seizing the phones of, yeah, Democrat officials and networks around City Mayor Eric Adams. That would be Eric Adams, good friend of P. Diddy, actually gave Diddy a key to the city a year ago. Weird, right? Diddy had been having parties he called freak-offs for years, where drugs were supplied, and in cases, people sometimes were actually drugged and didn't even know what they were doing. Often it was with children, or at least underage people. Sometimes it was rape. And the problem that Diddy's been having is that too many of those victims have come forward. So naturally, the FBI needed to pull the plug on the operation. Mark my words. You know how you're going to know this was the Hollywood version of the Epstein operation? The FBI will refuse to release the names of the Johns, the ones who had sex, who basically are pedophiles. They're doing the same thing in the Epstein case. We've documented this endlessly. In fact, U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn, a Republican, attempted earlier this year to use the Senate's subpoena power to subpoena the names of the Johns who slept with the Epstein underage girls from the FBI. She was blocked by Democrat Dick Durbin. And the FBI still refuses to turn those names over, make them public, or prosecute them. Folks, that always blows my mind. I mean, think about it. We just had like a sports guy on a local television news station here get arrested for just having kiddie porn on his computer. But apparently, if you're the right people, you can make actual kiddie porn yourself. The FBI can know all about it and they'll protect you. In fact, they've run a round-the-clock effort to keep those names from coming out in court. Do you know who spearheaded it? Yeah, James Comey's daughter. James Comey's daughter. So here's how you'll know if that's the other part of the Epstein operation. The FBI will also protect the pedophile Johns and the rapist Johns in the Diddy case. I guarantee you that's what will happen. The Epstein operation, by the way, ended the same way. He'd had tremendous protection for his criminal pursuits for years and years, but too many victims came out and too much attention was paid to it. And so they had to scoop him up, put him on suicide watch, and get rid of him. By the way, Diddy's on suicide watch. Anyway, what's really funny about Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, is he's claiming that this is actually retaliatory by Joe Biden, because Adams criticized Biden's administration harshly for the holy grail of Democrat politics, the illegal voter drive they're running at the border, which had led to the flooding of his city.
I have been fighting injustice my entire life. That fight has continued as your mayor. Despite our pleas, when the federal government did nothing as its broken immigration policies overloaded our shelter system with no relief, I put the people of New York before party and politics. If I am charged, many may say I should resign because I cannot manage the city while fighting the case. Make no mistake, you elected me to lead this city, and lead it I will.
This is an absolute break, a total schism in the Democrat Party. If you watch the press conference, just about every single black leader, not just in New York City, but in the state of New York, stood behind him. They were three deep. You couldn't even see them all. All were black. And the irony, of course, of these charges is that Joe Biden has, of course, charged Mayor Eric Adams with the exact crime Hunter Biden committed while, you know, picking up all of those money transfers for, what is it, over $50 million from our worst enemies on earth. I mean, I guess Eric Adams should have just sent his son to pick up the money and it'd be okay. But like I said, whatever the case, Eric Adams was literally indicted for what Hunter Biden did.
Adams is reportedly being charged with, quote, acting as an unregistered foreign agent for taking actions in his official capacity after receiving donations from foreign sources. And it comes nearly a year into a federal corruption probe focusing largely on whether Adams conspired with the Turkish government to receive illegal campaign donations. Well, last November, the FBI raided the home of one of his top fundraisers. They also searched the property of another aide who is a former Turkish Airlines executive.
Okay. Here's it, folks. It doesn't matter if he's guilty, okay? If you're a Democrat in good standing, think Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, you can just ignore FARA, which is the Foreign Agent Registration Act. It means you're taking money from a foreign country or foreign nationals in order to accomplish something politically in the U.S. You can just completely ignore that. Nobody will care. Ask Mitt Romney, the Pelosi kids, John Kerry's son. The list goes on and on and on and on. They'll let you be on the take all you want. You could even launder the money. Ask Hunter Biden. It's not a big deal. So this is a signature crime. This is one that only those who run afoul of the swamp are charged with, and others are allowed to pretty much openly violate. That's why they picked it for him. And he would have thought he could get away with it if he actually did it as a Democrat Party member in good standing. So this is a political fallout. We don't know over what. But again, what Eric Adams is accused of by Joe Biden is literally exactly what Hunter Biden did on behalf of Joe Biden. You cannot escape the irony there. If we had an honest media, they'd go wild over this. Insane thing number three is how dumb Kamala Harris actually is. I always assumed she was just a liar and a communist. That goes without saying. But I'm beginning to think she's actually stupid. Harris's interview with MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle was so bad this week that the New York Times tore it to pieces. It involved ridiculous, vapid answers like these.
If you can't raise corporate taxes, or if GOP takes control of the Senate, where do you get the money to do that? Do you still go forward with those plans and borrow?
Well, but we're going to have to raise corporate taxes, and we're going to have to raise, we're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share.
See? Almost childlike. President George W. Bush's former spokesperson and a card-carrying member of the swamp, Dana Perino, was uncharacteristically savage toward her after that ridiculous interview.
She does one interview with a friendly interviewer, her first solo interview after she became the nominee 65 days ago. She cannot answer a question with actual sentences and words and, you know, punctuation. And it kind of pains me to say it, because I think, what have you been doing for 4 years? What do you not have any set of principles? Even the New York Times today basically laughed at her interview.
The softball interview wasn't just devastating and embarrassing for Kamala Harris. It was embarrassing for the woman who had to do it, Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC, who was left stuttering and sounding like an idiot herself, explaining that she let her off the hook because, you know, Kamala can't really be expected to give, you know, answers, like direct answers.
One could watch that and say, well, she didn't give a clear, direct answer. That's okay, because we are not talking about clear or direct issues.
Yeah, we are. Folks, the whole world is laughing at this ridiculous woman. Look at the headline after the MSNBC interview that Kamala Harris got in the UK Daily Mail. Here it is. It says it all. Kamala Harris is stumped by question about critical part of her economic policy during MSNBC interview. That says it all. The whole world is laughing at her. Worse, they put her next to Vladimir Zelensky, who's been flown in to campaign for the Democrats on your tax dollar, which is essentially what they impeached Trump for. But it's Democrats, so it's okay. And she's standing next to him. She's trying to, you know, polish her foreign policy chops and look smart. But she ends up looking dumb, because she not only doesn't take questions, she runs from the reporters.
And after Zelensky and VP Harris spoke to the press, Harris quickly bolted out of the room, ignoring reporters.
Thanks to you, Madam Vice President. Slava Ukraini.
Thank you.
Based upon the optics, that does not look very presidential to me.
Kamala Harris will never, ever hold a press conference or take questions from somebody she doesn't know is a staunch supporter of hers. You'll see the Giants in the playoffs before you see Kamala Harris give a press conference.
In all seriousness, then, how will this woman physically function as the president of the United States? This is worse than Joe, and he at least had the excuse of senility. Insane thing number two. Guys, all the other insane things today may not actually matter much if insane thing number two goes down any moment. World War III with Russia could begin. It was greenlit about 2 weeks ago. Most Americans aren't really paying attention. They're so burnt out on Ukraine. But it was. Here's what happened. Joe Biden met with the prime minister of the UK and greenlit something that they both promised they would never do at the beginning of the Ukraine conflict. First, they said they'd never give long-range cruise missiles to Ukraine. Then they did. Then they said they'd never approve the launching of those missiles deep into Russia. Why? Ukraine doesn't have the equipment or the capability to do it. To launch heavy cruise missiles deep into Russia to kill Russians requires the use of our satellites, our intel, and the Pentagon's networks. Ukraine can't do it, and Russia knows it. They said they will consider the launching of those missiles deep into Russian territory, which is the plan right now, to be an act of war. How big of an act of war are we talking? This was chilling this week, and the U.S. media all but blacked it out. They don't want you catching on till it's too late. In other words, Vladimir Putin did a nationally televised address to his country 2 days ago to announce they're changing their nuclear doctrine so that if NATO weapons, in other words, American and British weapons, he means, like the heavy cruise missiles that Biden approved 2 weeks ago, are dropped or launched into Russia, it'll be considered an act of war or a declaration of war, and Russia will retaliate and will potentially use nuclear weapons in response. Folks, we are sleepwalking into World War III. Now consider how they've done this. These weapons could be launched if, I don't even know why we need to do this, from somewhere in Ukraine, and Russia would theoretically, launch them back into Ukraine. But they're making sure to do it from NATO territory. Why? Because if Russia retaliates, they'll get what they've wanted for years, World War III. Because the way the NATO treaty works is if Russia hits NATO territory, we are obligated by law to respond, to get into a conflict with Russia. And folks, I can't help but wonder at the timing of this, as it begins to look like Kamala Harris might lose this election, all of a sudden Joe Biden approves long-range missiles to be fired into Russia, knowing damn well that Russia has warned them never to do that. That's a red line, and they will retaliate, perhaps nuclear retaliate. I mean, fuck, they're trying to get a war ahead of this election for some reason. I don't know if it'll work. Putin's just as evil as they are, but he's smarter. So I'm hoping he'll be able to hold off the swamp and its idiocy. But this is how serious this situation is. Russia has literally changed its nuclear doctrine. If it is hit with these long-range missiles fired by complete idiots, it may use nuclear weapons. And he announced he's preparing the nuclear forces of Russia and Belarus to begin strikes if they are hit. Folks, this should be the biggest story in this country right now. This is absolute insanity. Our leaders are not smart enough to start this or follow through on it. They're not even fully present. Folks, I don't even know who our leaders are exactly. When I think of who's doing this, I think of the nameless, faceless people who are running Joe Biden when he's not on vacation in Delaware. I don't know who these actually is. And for Kamala Harris to sit down with MSNBC and nobody ask her about this, it's crazy. Folks, in other words, the people running this country aren't going to suffer the repercussions of what they're doing. Nobody even knows their names. Again, are they trying to get Russia to do an October surprise by hitting Russia with long-range missiles so Russia has to hit back? Folks, Russia has to hit back if they do this. They cannot allow the mass murder of Russian civilians by the U.S. over their borders. They will have to respond. In America, the swamp is counting on it. That's how evil and scary they are. Keep your eye on this situation, folks. Any moment that missile could be fired by us, the Brits, and some guy from Ukraine who will just mash the button. And if he does, we literally could be in World War III by the end of the weekend. Folks, it's going to be a miracle if Trump can win and we can make it to inauguration without these lunatics doing something wild. The other reason they would do this, folks, for a long time, what have I been telling you? That we can tell by the leaked German war plans that World War III is scheduled for 2025 after Kamala's election. This stuff's only been going on when it started to look like Trump could potentially win. In other words, they're going, oh my gosh, we have to move up our war plans because we may not be able to conduct World War III. And they were planning on it. The plans for World War III, including detailed troop movements month by month, were leaked from the German military. It's definitely scheduled for 2025. And here's what's scary about it. It envisions U.S. troops on the ground in Ukraine, on the front lines, possibly with a draft. Not just a draft for Americans, but also for Europeans. It's actually been a hot political issue there because they are assuming we're going to do a draft to go fight Russia on the ground in Ukraine. And they're all talking about it, too. It's very unpopular. All this is being blacked out from the American people, but it doesn't make it any less real or any less scary. And finally, to cap the whole thing off, to show you how serious they are about this level of mass casualties, headline this week in the UK Daily Mail, NATO prepares plan for huge number of casualties in case of World War III scenario with Russia. As German military says, invasion could happen this decade. So, I mean, first, he's only 24, and they're envisioning, I'm not kidding, hundreds of thousands of casualties. Again, what did I tell you earlier this year on the Battleground America podcast? Charles Brown, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff here in America, said that Americans will be on the ground in Ukraine, will be on the front lines doing training. And why we can't do this training in other countries, I don't know. He also said we'd have to go ahead and send the Air Force to secure the air over those troops. Well, that's World War III with Russia. I mean, we'd be fighting Russia in the air with our fighters. So, and he said, look, it's not happening right now, but it will. What does he mean? After she's elected, scheduled for 2025. Again, there are other sources on this. The Prime Minister of Slovakia said that leaked that NATO is planning World War III with Russia, and it's scheduled for 2025. He was trying to warn the world. Just a few weeks after, maybe it was coincidence, he was assassinated. He barely survived. By the way, the Brits and the U.S. have denied that. What? Us? No. World War III? So have the Germans. But here's the weird part. The French didn't deny it. They didn't deny that NATO is planning World War III. In fact, Macron, the head of France, used the occasion to double down and say he wanted to go ahead and send the French soldiers right away, all 25,000 of them. After that, Putin announced if Macron sent the soldiers, killing them would become priority number one for the Russians. They would target them heavily, which is exactly what they'll do to our troops. Folks, Laura Ingraham is one of the few in the national media that gets it. And she was trying to warn young people, folks, if you vote for Kamala Harris, you well could end up drafted and on the ground fighting Russia in Ukraine. And believe you me, it's not going to be like fighting a couple of goat herders with backward technology from Afghanistan or from Iraq. Take a listen to Laura Ingraham again warning about what I've been warning about, the draft for World War III. This was this week on her show.
So $200 billion in U.S. money, all these weapons sent over, and a major upheaval in the energy and ag markets, agriculture markets, countless dead, we'll never know the real numbers. And young voters across the country right now should realize this. Voting Democrat means not only four more years of war, but the very real possibility that at some point we would need a draft to staff our already depleted military ranks.
Finally, insane thing number one. This just makes my blood boil. We'll start with the cover-up by the GOP leadership and the Democrat leadership of the Secret Service's clear attempt to aid any one of the five assassination teams currently operating on U.S. soil in the murder of Donald J. Trump. How did they attempt to aid and cover for the Secret Service? By pretending this week, the biggest pretend of all, that Trump's almost been killed twice. A record, if you think about it. No other president of the United States has ever seen back-to-back assassination attempts like this. That this happened somehow because of a lack of funding. What they hope you don't know is 2 years ago, they got a 27% increase in funding. And last year, a 9% increase in funding. And really, they don't seem to have trouble protecting anybody else, funding or not, except Donald Trump. By giving the Secret Service a $180 million boost in its funding, i.e. a reward for almost getting Trump killed, they were telling the American people, essentially, well, you know, it's just understaffed. They're just understaffed. They're trying so hard. They're underfunded, understaffed. It's not what it looks like that they're trying to dangle Trump out there like bait and get him murdered. No, not that. That was the absolute scandal of this money. And if they really wanted to keep him alive, which they don't seem to, if they really wanted to keep him alive, you know what they would have done? What I suggested earlier this week on the Battleground America podcast. Give the $180 million in a block grant to Trump's campaign, specifically for private security. That would keep him alive. But I'm not sure that's the goal. In the swamp, in Congress, or even among Republican leadership, that reward to the Secret Service was an absolute outrage. Here's former acting director of the FBI, Chris Schwecker, saying, essentially, this is a crock. The problems with the Secret Service have nothing to do with funding or resources, which, again, you can clearly see in their totally no problem ability to keep Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, or any other swamp creature safe.
It's an indictment of the Secret Service in general, but particularly the leadership. I think a lot of people are, and a lot of people on the committee are thinking this is a resource problem. This is not a resource problem. The Secret Service was fully funded for protection for 2023.
No, it's not a lack of resources or understaffing. That's complete BS. Congressmember Matt Gaetz actually nailed it last week.
I think the public should know that the Secret Service was aware of five assassination teams at the time they were taking protective assets away from President Trump and redeploying them to other people with less of a risk profile around them.
That's right. Gaetz maintains a high level a whistleblower from the Department of Homeland Security came to his office to let him know there are no less than five assassination teams, including one Iranian one, currently stalking Trump on U.S. soil. We would find out that at least one of those is known to the Biden administration, that there is, in fact, it was confirmed this week, an assassination plot by Iran against Donald Trump. Now, why would they confirm that this week publicly? Biden's administration, to mock us, because they knew damn well this week they'd given the green light for the president of Iran, who presumably would be the head of the Iranian plot to kill Trump, right? They cleared him to come to New York on U.S. soil to testify before the U.N. But it gets worse. They gave him Secret Service, a large contingent of Secret Service. It was so outrageous, it trended pictures of it on Twitter this week. Now, why this week? Why would they want all this to be known? And they do. They want it to be known. The Biden administration was literally deploying Secret Service agents this week to protect the president of Iran, who is trying to kill Trump on U.S. soil, according to the Biden administration, while telling Trump they did not have enough resources for him to have a rally in Wisconsin, one of those big open air rallies. Never mind, Kamala Harris just had a rally in Wisconsin, which, folks, is a razor's edge swing state right now. Nobody knows how that state's going to come down. Everybody agrees in all the polls it's going to be tight. So they let Her Highness have one, and there's never any kind of personnel problem or funding problem when it comes to protecting Her Highness. And there's not one either, apparently, when it comes to protecting the Iranian president who is trying to kill Trump. But when Trump this week wanted to have the Wisconsin rally, they told him, literally as they're protecting the guy trying to kill him, the head of Iran, no, we don't have enough for you. Folks, what is going on here? They are mocking us, okay? That's the point of all of this. That's why they waited till the president was in the country. The president of Iran was in our country to tell us he's trying to kill Trump, because they wanted us to understand they're okay with it. They can't say that out publicly, but they can show it that they're mocking us. And what is the message? The message is you can run against us if you want to, but you're going to have to try to stay alive long enough to assume office or actually win it. This message isn't just being delivered to Trump. It's being delivered to all future Republican candidates. They believe it may really be preventative for some of the best of them running. I mean, who wants to die at the hands of what is practically a joint plot between Iran and U.S. Secret Service? And no, they don't have to plot anything. All they have to do is know about the plot and just insecure and unsecure the rallies. That's all they got to do. It looks like what they're doing. Now, think about this for a moment, okay? Do you think that President Trump, after killing the number two guy in Iran, Soleimani, could have just gotten on a plane and flown there, gone around Iran, given a speech? No, if he touched down in Iran, they would have arrested him. We'd never see him again. Why didn't we arrest the president of Iran, who this week we say has an assassination plot against Donald Trump? Why wouldn't we do that? Now, think about this for a minute, okay? You're the president of Iran. Put yourself in his shoes. You're trying to kill. Our government says you're trying to kill President Trump. And by the way, in 2021, we arrested one of the assassins that Iran sent. He was a ringleader who was recruiting others, including trying to recruit cartel hitmen to kill Trump and his inner circle. Okay. The Ayatollah of Iran has specifically said he's going to kill Trump on his Twitter feed. And he listed the other 14 Trump officials he plans to kill too. Okay, so this is unequivocal. This has come straight from Iran. In fact, this week, a video resurfaced that the Ayatollah had put on his website of, and this is eerie, of a kill, like a robo dog. It's got wheels, but it's a robo dog going up to, get this, a fence around a golf course and assassinating Donald Trump. If you look at the scenery in the assassination fantasy video that Iran put out, it looks uncannily like the spot from which the assassin fired at Trump on that golf course. I mean, folks, it's eerie. Now, the video is a few years old, right? So all of this is very, very clear. It's come straight from the horse's mouth from Iran about their plans to assassinate Trump, which, The Biden administration says they have an active plot, right? Okay. Now, suppose you're the president of Iran for a minute. You want to go to speak at the UN in New York. Do you dare fly in here? I mean, do you even take the chance, the small chance, that Democrats, while they're treasonous rats, I mean, they might arrest you. No. You call. You have your people call. You check through back channels. Hey, if I come to America, you know, this little assassinate Trump thing, are you going to arrest me or am I good? And that conversation would have had to have taken place between him and somebody either in the White House or affiliated with the White House, their people. In other words, they gave him the clear. Nah, we're cool. Now we're totally cool with killing Trump. Nah, come here. Hey, in fact, we will take our understaffed Secret Service agency. We'll take those agents, tell Trump he can't have them for his Wisconsin rally, and we'll deploy them to you, the president of Iran, to make sure you're safe while you try to. What does this show you? This is not incompetence. This is not understaffing. This is not underfunding. This is a deliberate message. Run against us. You could do it, but good luck staying alive till election day. Good luck surviving till your inauguration. Heck, good luck serving out your time without ending up dead, because we're not going to protect you. In fact, we might even undermine you. That's the message. And think about it. It was the message they sent to RFK, too. I mean, RFK had gotten to the point he asked three times for Secret Service protection. At one point, he had people breaking into his house. And they had Alejandro Mayorkas, Biden did, personally write a letter to RFK denying him the protection. Anybody at the Secret Service could have done it, but they let the head of the Department of Homeland Security do it. Why? To send a message. You do not challenge us politically, or you might die. Be a shame if something happened to you. That's what they're doing. It's more of a crisis, I think, than most Americans realize. It means that they've turned away from lawfare, which has failed them, and they've turned to something else, a lot more homicidal, to solve their problem and help them clinch power.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.